Welcome to The Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young. It's a joy to have you with us today. Pastor Ed leads Fellowship Church in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Today, Pastor Ed Young continues a series of talks titled Breath. This time, the message is entitled Dog Breath, and we'll learn how God transforms our lives one breath at a time, and we'll discover it is one choice away. This program is just a glimpse of what Pastor Ed has to offer. From global missions to his latest inspirational books and daily devotionals, there's something for everyone. You can find all of this and more at edyoung.com. And here's an exclusive offer for our listeners today. Download a free chapter of Pastor Ed and Lisa's newest book, A Path Through Pain, at edyoung.com. With refreshing vulnerability and power, A Path Through Pain shares their family's journey from sorrow and anger to hope and healing after the tragic and sudden loss of their daughter. As they share their incredible perspective, they will inspire and equip you to believe that there is purpose in your pain, even if you can't see that purpose yet. Now, let's get into today's message called Dog Breath. Welcome to The Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young.
We all have bad breath, don't we? I do. Go ahead and admit it. Just go ahead and say it. I have bad breath, yeah. Because if we don't take care of our breath will take care of us. We will have bad breath. And you can even buy a device called a halometer online. A halometer shows you how bad your breath actually is. And whenever you talk to someone with bad breath, don't you find yourself kind of taking a step back? But if you're talking to a close talker, they have no idea they have bad breath. They're just breathing it on you. It's just like, ooh, man, it's bad. There's nothing like bad breath. But yeah, there's some really bad breath. I mean, if you want to talk about some real bad breath, try dog breath. I have a dog I adopted from the streets of Miami. His name is Level, because I think he went to a whole nother level when he moved in with us. I love Level. And Level's cool, man. Level's like a gangster. He's a great little dog, but his breath, I'm telling you, it'll make you weak-kneed. He has dog breath. Dog breath. That's what I'm going to call today's message. I'm in a series called Breath, because breath is mentioned a lot in the Bible. I call this message, dog breath. You might be saying, Ed, what's gotten into you? Dog breath? You mean that's from the Bible? Dog? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Because we have three types of breath. We either have bad breath, which of course we're calling dog breath. We have good breath. And God breath. Obviously, the goal is to have God breath. What kind of breath are you breathing on people? What kind of breath are you breathing on your spouse? What kind of breath are you breathing on your parents? What kind of breath are you breathing on your students? What kind of breath are you breathing on your coach? Are you breathing dog breath? Or are you breathing God breath? God is so good. He's so amazing. We have the opportunity to breathe in, to inhale the breath of God, and to exhale the breath of God. Dog breath. I don't know about you. I want to confess this. I have a tendency to breathe dog breath. I do. I have this tendency toward negativity. Left on my own, I mean, my breath is bad. I mean, I try to cover it by myself by being a good boy. You try to do that by being a good girl or whatever. But let's be honest. At the end of the day, we got some bad breath. Only God can change our breath. Only God. That happens the moment we say, you know what, Lord, I want to stop the cover-ups. I want to stop the spiritual mouthwash. I believe that you, God, sent Jesus to breathe perfectly. I believe that Jesus on the cross said, "It is finished," and he breathed his last breath as he took the brunt of your wrongdoings and mine. I believe he was buried, and I believe he breathed the breath of resurrection. He burst forth with this power. Then the Bible tells us that Jesus can breathe and does breathe on us. Have you received the breath of Jesus? Have you received the breath of God? He breathed out the death of breath so we can breathe in the breath of God. So I'm talking about dog breath. Dog breath. And I'm going to talk about a guy in the Bible named the dog. He's really the first Snoop, D-O-E-G. Okay, that's true. Four characters, very quickly. I'll give you the Wikipedia version. Doeg the Edomite is his name. Let's call him Dog. Let's drop the E because he, Doeg just dogged some people out. And you know dogs, don't you? You know those people who just want to dog you out? You know what I'm talking about? Doeg the Edomite. He's found in 1 Samuel. And we're going to turn to that in a second. The next person we're going to talk about is a man named Ahimelech. Say that with me. Ahimelech. I love that. What the heck, Ahimelech? Then we got David, King David. We know about David. Most of us know about David, the Star of David. David, the giant killer. David, the man of the hour, too sweet to be sour. The tower of godly power. Then we got Saul, King Saul. I call him Psycho Saul. You ever meet people, you're like, man, that person's crazy. That's Saul. He went crazy because of jealousy. Jealousy, the word lousy is in it. If I'm jealous of you, after a while, I'll feel lousy. And that's what Saul did. So four characters. And we're going to talk about their life. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 21. And I'm going to read just one verse there. Then I'll go to 1 Samuel chapter 22. Here's the situation. David had just killed Goliath. See, Saul was supposed to fight that battle. He was 6'6". David, a little guy, a Hebrew hillbilly from the sticks. He shows up and like, I'll fight him. And he knew, David did, it was God's battle, and he took out Goliath. Well, after he took out Goliath, his Instagram following went from like 6 people to 600,000. He was just, I mean, everything was blowing up. Front page of every newspaper magazine. He was the man. Seems like Saul would have gone, man, this guy saved my life. But he didn't. He got jealous, jealous. You got to be feel lousy when you're jealous. So the Bible said Saul looked at David with an eye of jealousy and envy. Have you ever seen anybody who has that kind of evil eye now and then? The Bible talks about that a lot. Well, Saul had an evil eye, and also Snoop D-O-E-G had an evil eye. I'll come back to that in a second. David is the man. Not only was David a military genius, he was a musical genius. So Saul brings him in to his palatial office, and he goes, David, play some music for me. It's in the Bible. I mean, everything's happening. You know what Saul does? He's thinking to himself, this guy's so talented. He's so amazing. And I'm not. He loves God and he obeys him. And obviously I'm not doing really, you know, he knew down deep that he was not doing what God wanted him to do. So he picked up a spear. Saul did. And David ducked it. Sticks in the wall. David could have killed Saul, but he didn't. You know why? He knew Saul was an authority over him. You're never, ever, ever going to respect every person in authority. You have to, though, respect their position. And that's what David did, but that's a whole other message. David leaves Jerusalem. He's like, oh, man, I'm gone. I'm gone. He's running. He's running. He's the first fugitive. He's running. He's running. And he goes to a place called Nob, right outside of Jerusalem. It's where the tabernacle was. Nob. Hey, where are you from, man? Nob. Oh. Knob, though, is going to be the knob to a door that teaches us about slander. It teaches us about dog breath. What is slander, by the way? Slander. Slander can be defined as telling the truth, but not the whole truth about someone in order to hurt them. That's slander. So I tell the truth, not the whole truth about you in order to hurt you. It's revealing the content without the context, because the right information in the wrong hands can be deadly. So David runs to Nob. That's where the tabernacle was. There was a guy named Ahimelech there. He was the lead pastor. He was the priest of all these other priests. Well, David didn't want to bring him into the drama. So David just said, hey, I need some carbs, some shoe bread in the original language, and I need a weapon. Because, see, the Israelites did not have very many weapons back then because the Philistines had a corner on the iron market. David had taken the sword from Goliath. It was in the trophy room in this tabernacle in a place called Nob. So Ahimelech gave him the sword and some bread. And David just said, hey, I'm on the king's business. I'm on Saul's, as we say in Texas, business. So we took it and he bolted. That's pretty smart of David. He didn't want to involve all these men of God in this situation. It was just between he and Saul. Well, Saul was hot on his trail. Saul shows up and he's talking to Ahimelech and he's like, Ahimelech, what the heck? So Ahimelech's like, what? Saul, I had nothing to do with this. I'm not a conspirator. I'm not with David. I mean, I just did what he asked me to do. I had no idea what was going on. And here's a guy, Ahimelech, who lived this life of integrity. He was over all these priests and their families. Yet, now we bring in our boy, Snoop D-O-E-G.
You're listening to The Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young. We're halfway through today's incredible message, and we hope it's been an inspirational part of your day. As we pause for a moment, we want to thank you for joining us and for your continued support. This ministry, focused on sharing the gospel, is possible because of listeners like you. As a token of our gratitude for supporting The Creative Connection, we have a special gift for you. We'd love to send you a complimentary copy of Pastor Ed and Lisa Young's newest book, A Path Through Pain. This is a powerful book they wrote after the sudden death of their oldest daughter, Lee Beth. They share profound truth that even in the darkest moments, pain and joy can coexist. To receive your free copy, visit edyoung.com. It's our way of saying thanks for your gift to help take the hope of Jesus to people around the world. And if today's message has touched your heart, consider supporting us. Your contributions, no matter the size, help us continue spreading God's word and bring hope to many. Visit edyoung.com to learn how you can make a difference. Now, let's continue with today's message. You're listening to The Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young.
Says in 1 Samuel 21, verse 7, now one of Saul's servants was there that day, I'm talking about at Nob, detained before the Lord. He was Doeg the Edomite, Saul's head shepherd. Let me say it again. Anytime you do anything in life, anytime you're blessed, anytime you're successful, anytime you close the deal, build the company, the church, the hospital, whatever it is, people are going to dog you out. Saul shows up. The Secret Service, they're with Saul. They're trying to find David. And I know the Secret Service guys are going like, man, what's up with Saul? David's the man. He's trying to kill him? What is Saul smoking? So Saul talks to Ahimelech. Ahimelech, what's the deal? And Ahimelech tells him the truth. Well, then the Bible says, Doeg speaks up. Dog breath. 1 Samuel chapter 22, verses 9 and 10. But Doeg, the Edomite, who was standing with Saul's officials, said, "Oh, I saw the son of Jesse. Yeah, I saw him. That's David. I saw him come to Ahimelech. Ahimelech inquired of the Lord for him." In other words, Ahimelech prayed for him. Saul, Ahimelech is with him. He's even praying against you. He also gave him some provisions and the sword of Goliath, the Philistine. Okay, everything he said was true, but he left out the context. He left out the fact that Ahimelech didn't know what the heck was going on. He left out the fact that David was being a friend to Ahimelech and at the same time honoring Saul. He left that out. It's called slander. So I can't believe this next verse. It's going to get really gory, but then it's going to get incredible. 1 Samuel 22:17. "Then the king," that's psycho Saul, "ordered the guards at his side," that's his, his posse, secret police, "turn and kill the priests of the Lord." Guys, come on, kill them. Take them out. "Because they've sided with David and they knew he was fleeing and yet they didn't tell me." Oh, "but the king's officials were not willing to raise a hand to strike the priest of the Lord." Then guess who raises his hand? Saul goes, "Who will kill the priests and their families and children? Anybody?" Crickets. Then the dog raises his hand. "I'll do it." Doeg the Edomite slaughtered the priests and all of their families and their children that day in Nob. Slander kills. The sword of slander. Well, what do we do about it? Here's what David did. You know what David did when this happened? He was so hurt. He was so devastated. He began to write. And in Psalm chapter 52, he wrote his feelings, his anger, his angst, his hurt about this situation. Sometimes it's like, "Oh man, well, I can't express my anger to God." What? That's part of the Psalms. That's what David did. He began to write. "And thoughts disentangle themselves when they pass through our lips to our fingertips." That's why I think it's great to journal. Psalm 52, check it out. "Why do you boast of evil, you mighty man?" He's talking about the dog, man. "Why do you boast all day long?" Talking about Saul. They were just dealing in slander, disrespect. "You who are a disgrace of the eyes of God, your tongue plots destruction. It's like a sharpened razor." That's the sword of slander. "You who practice deceit, you love evil rather than good." That's a depravity. "Falsehood rather than speaking the truth. You love every harmful word. Oh, you deceitful tongue. Surely, God will bring you down to everlasting ruin. He'll snatch you up and tear you from your tent. He'll uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous will see and fear. They will laugh at him, saying, 'Here now is the man who did not make God his stronghold, but trusted in his great wealth and grew strong by destroying others.'" Here's where it gets good. "But I," see the transition, but I "am like an olive tree flourishing in the house of God. I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever. I will praise you forever for what you've done. In your name I will hope, for your name is good. I will praise you in the presence of your saints." Now, what was David saying? You got to plant yourself in the house. Don't speak half-truths in order to hurt somebody. Don't have dog breath. Breathe God's breath and speak the whole truth in order to help somebody. So how would I say it? Somebody help somebody. Look at your neighbor and say, somebody help somebody. Let's tell the truth in order to help somebody. We got to plant in the house. Are you planted in the house? This is fertile soil. Plant yourself in the house. Don't uproot yourself and move here, there, and yonder. One of the reasons we have so many shallow people spiritually is we move and we uproot from place to place, from church to church, and we have no deep roots. Look at the sequoia tree. The oldest living thing, I think the biggest living thing. Sequoia trees grow straight. They grow in groups. Their root systems are intertwined. And because they're intertwined, they can actually heal. Sounds like the church to me. We're sequoia trees. Plant yourself in the house. Grow straight. In clumps, in groups. You'll breathe in the healing power of God and breathe out the breath, that perfect breath of God. And this happens through the Holy Spirit of God. Again, go back to what I said earlier. Jesus, the day of his resurrection, breathed his breath, his resurrection breath, on the disciples. They received it. So when the breath of God, his death, burial, and resurrection, infiltrates my life, then I breathe. That's how I survive. That's the prayer. That's the walking and the talking. And I can breathe life, not death, into people. I listen to the voice of the Spirit of God, and I obey, and then I speak. So here's the choice. Dog breath or God breath? Let's be a church that breathes God breath, okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this message. I needed it as much as anyone here, and I know others do too. But here's the deal. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, slander nailed Jesus to the cross. And Jesus took it. And he's taken it like we will never take it. He did it for you and me. Because our lives are slanderous. Let's admit to him what he already knows. Let's admit to him that we've messed up, that we're not perfect, that we have bad breath, that we're sinners. Let's just say that. Jesus, I've messed up. I've sinned. And now let's just say, many of you need to say this, Jesus, breathe on me. I open my life to you. Breathe on me. I receive your death, burial, and resurrection. Give me, bring me back to life, to the life that you have for me. Others of us here that have prayed that prayer before, may we defer, God, to your precious Spirit. May we listen and breathe your breath to a world that so desperately needs your breath. For Christ's sake, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for being with us today on The Creative Connection with Pastor Ed Young. We believe God has amazing things in store for you as you breathe in his plans for your life. Your support is so important in helping us share the gospel of Jesus with a hurting world. As a token of our gratitude, we're offering you a free copy of A Path Through Pain by Pastor Ed and Lisa Young. Visit edyoung.com to claim your book and learn more about how you can support Ed Young Ministries. Join us next time as Pastor Ed continues the series Breath with a message titled Hee-Haw, where we'll explore the differences between existing and really living on purpose. Stay connected with us at edyoung.com for more great content and ways for you to be a part of what God is doing through The Creative Connection. Thanks for listening. Until next time, God bless.